with responsibility for me. I ask that you be charitable toward me. It is possible that among those attending an international convention for the first time, there are some who question the usefulness of such gatherings. A few Bible students are even opposed to such conferences and have no plans to attend them. Those who have had the privilege of participating in one or more of these conventions certainly are more enthusiastic. My wife and I had the privilege of participating in all of these conventions ever since their inception in Kufstein, Austria, and the memory of each of them evokes always the same enthusiasm. It is true that this is not a necessary condition for each part of the members of the Church of Christ. Conferences and gatherings in our respective lands are surely a priority for our spiritual development. Besides, the Holy Scriptures reassure us in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I in the midst of them." We should not deduce from these words that we need to seek out isolation. But if we find ourselves constrained in such a situation, we ought not to despair. However, a larger gathering, which allows us to share our impressions with our brothers and sisters, our friends, our young ones, related or not, can only kindle our zeal for the truth and its followers. The Apostle John in 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, declared we unto you also, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And in the 7th verse of the same chapter we read, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Here today, we do not experience communion by means of these words only, but also face to face. And this is an added blessing which we must appreciate and render thanks for to our Heavenly Father. To question, some might ask, such as, why the need for so much expense, so much effort, so much sacrifice? Would it not be more worthwhile to use these sums for a more ample distribution of our work or for humanitarian endeavors? We ask, with this wonderful example cited in Mark 14:3-7, "And while he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster cruse ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the cruse and poured it over his head. But there are some that had indignation among themselves, saying, to what purpose hath this waste of the ointment been made? For this ointment might have been sold for above 300 shillings and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always with you, and whensoever ye can do them good. But ye do not always have. Jesus did not reprove the action of this woman, Mary of Bethany, and on the contrary, praised this particular action, which would become known through the entire world, according to Jesus in verse 9. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the world, that also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let us not forget that all of our actions must be governed by love if we want to gain the approval of our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:3 insists on this indispensable quality, and he cites, among others, the following recommendation. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. By developing this brotherly love, so necessary in our homes, all around us and in this place, let us share it with our brothers and sisters, and we will not be disappointed. Similarly, these exceptional international conventions must be appreciated for their true worth. Nevertheless, without neglecting our Christian duties as followers of Christ in our daily lives. May this 11th International Convention be an oasis of peace and happiness during the next few days. Let us thank the Lord for the privilege which has been granted to us by putting aside our cares and by opening wide the doors of our hearts and of our minds so that we may store in them the spiritual nourishment that has been prepared at the table of the Lord by His servants. This gathering is not without difficulties. We have come from different lands and therefore from differing languages and customs. It is then necessary to go through interpreters. This is a delicate and exhausting task. Let us be charitable and grateful toward them. Ah, if this gathering could only resemble the first Pentecost at the start of the Gospel Age, all language problems would be resolved. But this is not the case. Nevertheless, we have other technical opportunities at our disposal, which to a large extent compensate for these deficiencies. To each of these international conventions, a question has been applied. What if it were the last one? It applies to this. one, two, in Polynesia. The world is in a constant state of effervescence. Discontent and despair are seen at all levels among the working class in intellectual, financial, and religious worlds. The terrorist attacks of September 11th in the United States have started an unprecedented panic wave throughout the world. A new kind of fight against the blind terrorism has begun and has demanded an increased awareness to all the nations. It behooves me to mention that this state could equally affect us. Let us not be distracted from our main objective, which is to please God by remaining faithful to His word in all circumstances. Let us not murmur against the Lord, as did the Israelites on numerous occasions in the desert after leaving Egypt. We quote our example mentioned in Exodus 16, 2-3, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would that we had died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Let us rather adopt the serene attitude of the disciples who gathered themselves for several days in Jerusalem after Jesus had been taken up into the heavens and waited for the fulfillment of the promise that a comforter would be sent, it being the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let us read this passage in Acts 1:14. These all, approximately 120, of which 11 were the faithful apostles, which one, accord, continued to steadfastly in prayer with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. In our case, who are gathered here, what are we waiting for? The Apostle Peter gives us the answer in 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. But according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, give diligence that ye may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in his sight. Let us be diligent in our dealings with our brethren and our families, so as not to torment them or hurt them, exercising tolerance with a sincere brotherly love, knowing that each one of us has his own weaknesses. Let us apply this rule here among ourselves also. From a fleshly perspective, difficulties may arise, and there will certainly be some. Let us learn to smooth them out by minimizing them instead of exaggerating their relevance. As far as the spiritual side is concerned, it is evident that in the talks of the speakers from different lands, uncommon thoughts may be expressed. There again, additional vigilance is required so that one does not fall into spontaneous criticism, often unjustified. The spiritual side does not entail simply following, simply listening to, and assimilating the subjects presented, but equally implies participating in singing hymns, accompanying them sometimes with musical instruments, and in addition, conversing in small groups, as we read in Ephesians 5:19, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Since we have today the opportunity to fellowship with those who generally live far away, let us share the experience of our Christian lives. Perhaps a particular experience that means a great deal to us, or an intense joy caused by an event we live through, such as an exchange, can only strengthen our faith. A smile, a handshake, a few words uttered as we pass by, all these may bring an additional stone to our spiritual edification. The present gathering is taking place in a sports hall, which has been converted for the occasion into a hall of worship. This hall should then be regarded as a temple, a house of God, and our behavior should be worthy of that of a Christian mindful in all circumstances. In building specifically construction for worship, the participants, out of devotion, will automatically be silent upon entering the place and during the session. This awareness to be silent is less obvious in a hall like this one, and that is why we must make a special effort to return to our seats in silence and on time. Let us avoid all chattering, all whispering from the start and during each session of the program. This should be done out of respect for the Lord, the chairman, the speakers, and the brethren who are all around us. Even though the following recommendations of the Apostle Paul to Timothy have a different relevance, the words found in 1 Timothy 3:14 through 15 admonish us, "These words write I unto you, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The success of this meeting does not depend solely on the organizers, the speakers, the singers, and the musicians, but to a large extent, on the state of mind which we must all develop so that peace and joy may manifest themselves in our hearts and reflect in our faces. Let us pray to the Lord so that he may pour out upon us his blessings, and let us thank him for the privilege of being present here at this spiritual feast. Let us pay attention to the words which will be spoken, and as good Bereans who receive the word from Paul and Silas, with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so, Acts 17:11. Similarly, we must seek out our harmony with the Holy Scriptures if we want to progress in the path of holiness. All things being set up for us, let us allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, which our good Heavenly Father will pour out upon this convention through His Son and our Lord in the few days that follow. In conclusion, I will quote the words of the Apostle. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, be perfected, be comforted, be of the same mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And also the words written to the Philippians in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let us then not fear whatever may befall us. Amen.
Let's give a prayer to God for the privilege to be present. Let's be attentive, let's pay attention to the words that are going to be said. Let's be like the Bereans who examined the scriptures to check if what was said was true. It's what we read in Acts. We also have to seek agreement with the scriptures if we want to improve. All conditions being found, let us be guided by the Holy Spirit. To finish, I will quote the Apostle Peter in 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Let's be happy. Let's read Philippians 4:19. Let us not be fearful, whatever happens to us. Amen.